Welcome to another Dawn of Shades. It's the first Tuesday of the month, a lovely September 4th, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. I am your host, Gia Scott. Now, before I introduce the guest tonight or even the topic, there are a few things I wanted to say. The first thing I wanted to mention is a birthday wish for my good friend, Therese, who's a great asset to this show and Paranormal Radio Network. I'm a day late, Therese, but the wishes are still warm. I also wish to thank all of my loyal listeners, especially those who have read the website regularly and have emailed me with comments. As I said last week, one night this month during the show, we will give away a prize, and I think the listeners who pay attention and read the websites, the ones who form the core of any listening audience, deserve the best shot at winning that prize. There's your hint, right? So, someone in the audience tonight who is listening and likes a little bit of a challenge, listen close, visit the website periodically this month, and you will stand an excellent chance of winning. Oh, and one more small tidbit. If you are a part of Paranormal Radio Network or an immediate family member is, you can't win. Sorry, but we've got to be a little bit fair here. Now, it's our guest show. It's our guests that really make the best shows, too. So for this month, I would like everyone to vote and help form the upcoming shows. Now, it's not too terribly hard to do. All you have to do is go to www.giascott.com, click on the link to email me, and there are three questions I would like you to answer. The first question is, who was your favorite guest so far? That's a pretty easy question because there's even a list of the guests on the website. The second question is, what is the paranormal topic that you would most like to hear discussed on this radio show? And the last question is, who would you like to hear as a guest on the Dawn of Shades and upcoming shows? The questions aren't posted on the website tonight, but will be in the next day or two. I'm only going to take votes for the month of September, so do sit down and think about your choices and email your vote in soon. Besides, I'm known for being just a little bit sneaky, so you never know. Maybe that's where the potential winner gets his or her foot in the door. Now, getting to the topic at hand and the guest tonight. Maybe guest isn't quite the word, but it's the one I'm going to use for now. Tonight, I'm joined by Tuesday Miles, the host of Portal, a program that airs on the Paranormal Radio Network on Sundays. Our topic tonight is spirituality. And it's intended as an open discussion with the virtual auditorium being actively encouraged to join in with questions and comments, observations and statements. Anything goes, as long as you're polite. Excuse me. Now, I'm going to start off by reading a definition of the word spiritualism that I got off the internet. According to the American Heritage Dictionary, it's defined as a noun, and the belief that the dead communicate with the living as through a medium, the practices or doctrines of those holding such a belief, or a philosophy, doctrine, or religion emphasizing the spiritual aspect of being. Now, that definition didn't really help to clarify what we're going to discuss tonight, so I thought, okay, maybe we're all using the wrong word for the concept. But I noticed that word philosophy in the definition, so that's where I headed next. And this is what I found at answers.com. Philosophy. Love and pursuit of wisdom by intellectual means and moral self-discipline. Investigation of the nature, causes, or principles of reality, knowledge, or values based on logical reasoning rather than empirical methods. A system of thought based on or involving such inquiry. The critical analysis of fundamental assumptions or beliefs, the disciplines related in university curriculums of science and the liberal arts, except medicine, law, and theology, the discipline comprising logic, ethics, aesthetics, metaphysics, and a word I can't even pronounce, epistemology, I think, a set of ideas or beliefs relating to a particular field or activity, an underlying theory, such as an original philosophy of advertising, or a system of values by which one lives. Now, that's probably closer to what most of us assume spirituality to be, but it's not really a perfect fit either. And I thought, okay, let's shoot for the whole banana. So I looked up religion. That was the belief in a reverence for a supernatural power or powers regarded as creator or governor of the universe, or a personal or institutionalized system grounded in such a belief and worship. It could be the life or condition of a person in a religious order, a set of beliefs, values, and practices based on the teachings of a spiritual leader, or a cause, principle, or activity pursued with zeal and conscientious devotion. Well, that really didn't work too well either. So, I looked through more definitions and decided there are times when the English language just isn't very good at describing a concept. So now that I've begun to sound more like an English teacher than a radio host, I'm going to leave the definitions alone. So, Tuesday, are you here and still awake?
I'm here and still awake. Very interesting, your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, you know, you kind of wander around trying to find things, and sometimes you kind of go, well, that doesn't work, so let's try something else. So, how would you define spirituality?
Well, first let me thank all the listeners for coming in and joining us today, and I appreciate all their time and coming in and hearing your show, and I want to thank you first off for allowing me to come on your show and voice our opinions in this spirituality topic. It's a huge topic, and you know, spirituality in itself has such a huge meaning to it, actually. You know, with the Webster's Dictionary, it gives that definition of what it should be or what people's attitudes should be. And, you know, it's can you really actually put the word spirituality in a dictionary and recognize the fact that people are going to try to follow what it says? Spirituality, to me, is something that is very personal within each other. It's almost like you're seeking the truth of yourself and your higher self. When I mean higher self, I mean that higher power that's above you, whether it's someone you call God or you call Moses or you want to call the ice cream man. You know, it's just something that you feel that's above you, that you actually look for answers to, or some faith that you put in with it. Spirituality can mean anything from eating one of the best ice creams in the world and the way that you feel afterwards on it. You know, to me, it's something that people have now renamed themselves into being a spiritual person instead of a religious person. It keeps to me nowadays, and I'm really thankful for the fact is that people are now using the word spirituality more than they're saying that I'm a Christian or I'm a Catholic, because it gives people more of a choice to allow others to be whom they are with their own beliefs without judgment. And that's what happened with, you know, to me, this is what the world's come to. We have become so judgmental of each other in our own lives, in our own thoughts, in our faith and stuff, and it's separated us. It has completely separated us all, you know, and that's not what the intentions are. When we came to this earth, our intentions were not to be that we were to become a separate nation, a separate world, a separate in humanity. We came into this world in the thought that I felt is to, you know, acknowledge each other, to be kind to each other. And it's completely has changed. It's not that way as much as it was anymore. You don't go borrow sugar from your next door neighbor because the fact is you don't even know them.
Oh, no.
The store, you know,
I've lived here for 4 years. I have no idea who my neighbors are.
You know, and see, that's the thing is that how, you know, I mean, there's people can talk spirituality without becoming judgmental or debative about it. They can discuss spirituality without judging the color of your skin. So it's that word in itself, to me, means that you're seeking or you're searching for more answers. You know, unfortunately, I don't feel that we're all going to get everything that we're looking for, but at least it can still direct you to being a better person, to be more open with people's own lives and allowing them without judging them. It doesn't serve you any good to me to judge somebody, you know, and
well, sometimes it seems like instead of being spiritual about it, a lot of people go with, my God is bigger than your God and can kick your God's butt. You know, really, I mean, you know, it's
true.
It becomes something else entirely different, and you're like, I don't get this.
You know, and over in the Middle East, they're blowing people up because, and themselves, not just blowing the people up, but they're blowing themselves up because the fact they feel they have 11 virgins waiting for them on the other side. Hello! Do we really honestly think there's 11 virgins over there waiting for you when you blow up people and blow yourself up? I don't get it. I don't get it.
I have to admit, I don't either. We had a guest on a few weeks ago about suicides and what really happens in the afterlife, and that was part of the book that she'd written, you know, was this concept of what happens to you afterwards. You're in for a big surprise.
Well, you know, I mean, you lose your body. I mean, that's, you know, that's That's not a surprise. You don't have the physical body that you did here. But, you know, when you return back to energy, and this is the thing, and this is something that's not just my opinion, it's been well documented scientifically, the fact is that, and for those of you who are paranormal enthusiasts, who have studied the cause and effect of spirit, of ghosts, and all that stuff that goes with it, you know, there's scientific documentation that, yes, there is an afterlife. I mean, there was that debate for a while there, that the fact is that when you die, you are now in the hands of God, and that's where you're being taken care of. And there's no reason why that there's no ghosts or spirits or any of that stuff, because it can't be real. You no longer have that existence. You rise up into the heavens, which everybody points to be above. This is the teachings from when you're born here. I mean, I think that majority of the world in that child base is that most kids get some type of education on religion. There's the Bible school that they go to, there's Sunday school that they go to. So there's a little bit, at least there's a little bit. But in that teaching, it does teach the kids right away. And they point up to heaven and point down to hell. And they get to know what that big difference is of the two, but nothing in between. So therefore, at a certain age, kids start thinking, all right, what exactly is heaven above and hell is below? What is your spirit? Is there such a thing? And I think as we age and we get older, and of course, you go in through your childhood, you go in through your high school, and then afterwards where you get to be where, I think more kids going towards college and in that and type of age group really start thinking, wait, I really want to know more about this. I want to know what my own mortality is.
So at the same time, it seems like, especially over the last, say, 20 years, maybe 30 years, you know, spirituality has been replaced with the religion of science. And anything that didn't fit a scientific explanation was automatically discarded as invalid. And, you know, that for anything to be validated by the religion of science required all this repetitive testing and arguing and, you know, getting through the labyrinth of the academia and so forth and so on. And it was just so exclusionary of so many things.
Well,
psychic events to... anything paranormal was obviously suspect. Anything spiritual was definitely suspect because it wasn't real. It wasn't scientific. It didn't fit.
Well, it was down on paper. See,
yeah.
And that's what was the difference of it for is that here it's written on paper, and people read what the documentation that the scientists were writing on, but that didn't help. That didn't help that it was on paper because it wasn't felt throughout the heart. It wasn't felt throughout your own mind, and it wasn't your own opinion on it. And that's where it becomes completely separate. They can do as much scientific experiments as they want to. They can do as much documentation as they want to on this. It is still not going to satisfy each individual because it's something that you experience on your own.
But I think so often, spirituality of any form was just frowned upon as old-fashioned and superstitious and not politically correct and primitive and, for somebody of lower intellect, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Only recently have I really noticed that there is more of an upswing in being spiritual versus going through the form of ritually attending a church and so forth and so on, at least in the United States, and now you're seeing more of it again. People talk about it more. There's more personalizing of various religions, I think, there again, I'm speaking as an American, that...
It's a safe word. It's a safe word. If someone were to ask me, are you a religious person? I choose to say I'm a spiritual person, because that way I stay safe within my boundaries. That way I don't have to, I'm not into the debate word about it. I'm just not. I'm not, like you said, who's God's bigger?
Yeah,
Whose God allows just white people in their kingdom? whose God allows just black people in their kingdom, or the Muslims, and so on and so forth. That's the thing. See, it becomes prejudiced. And to me, spirituality is not prejudiced. That's the word I'm looking for. Because I do feel, I have to say, and don't write me hate letters, people, you really have to think about this. The fact is, religion has become prejudiced.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's become so much as always was.
Well, I agree there.
You know, because it was a case of, you know, each church seemed to have a separate heaven. And, you know, that means in heaven everything's segregated. The Baptists are in one section, the Presbyterians in one section, the Catholics in another, the Muslims in another, the Jews in another, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Taoists, the whoeverists. You know, each one has their own section.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, when you erase those lines, erase that segregation thing, you know, according to each sect, and, you know, regarded in just a spiritual light, it's like, whoa, yeah. You know, that's a way different thing. And we have a comment in the room that religion is based on a set of beliefs, values, and practices shared by many. And that's true. But really, you know, the intent of the tonight's program wasn't so much to discuss religion per se,
right,
as it is to examine what is spirituality. And I really, when I was reading the definitions, I really found that what we were looking at and what we call spirituality and spiritualism is really closer to what philosophy as a definition covered. You know, it's a way of life. It's a way of looking at your life. It's a way of looking at your entire existence from beginning to end until it all starts over again, you know.
I agree, and we have another comment in the room that's from Linda, and it says, religion is usually a book of rules for people that do not understand right and wrong unless it is explained to them. You know, and you think that, you know, shouldn't, you know, our society, our world, show right then and there what's wrong or right? Do we have to have, you know, that brought in with it to understand the rights and wrongs? And don't get me wrong, I have to say that, and you want to stray away from what our religious subject is on this, but the fact is that it has done a lot of good too. So I don't want to make it sound that I am anti-religious, because I'm not, because I do find that it has also helped the world in many, many ways on it. It does, and like Linda just said in the room, it has helped people to understand the rights and wrongs. It absolutely has on it. Spirituality, and when I use the word spirituality is because, I'll talk about as myself being a psychic, a medium, with what I started searching in what I call my own spirituality, is that, you know, I did have a set of beliefs, I would say, and I was, you know, baptized a Lutheran when I was younger, very small, and then had myself rebaptized again with my children when they became a certain age and decided what they wanted to do with their beliefs. And, you know, and I was fine with that. I'm not a big churchgoer as of today, and I have not extensively reread the Bible again as an adult, to the extent of knowing every verse that's in there. But I kept noticing that with my sight, with this clairvoyance sight and being psychic, that I noticed there was a lot of spirits that were here close to Earth, which I called at that time earthbounds or earthlings. And I started asking questions, why is it that in what I was raised in, this in the beliefs of being taught with what the Bible says, and that I'm seeing something different, and I don't understand. I thought that, again, when we died, that was it. There was no reason for these spirits or ghosts to be, you know, so close back to Earth that I could see them. And it started me thinking over again, really, what goes on there? What is it that we're missing? And why is it that I'm, as a clairvoyant, seeing this and I don't understand? And so that's when I started really researching my own spirituality. You know, I felt that there was something that we're missing here. I wanted to know exactly how much God has participation with here on Earth. That, to me, it shows that more of the participation was faith-based, not the actual spirit itself with God. I had a child approach me in spirit that asked me, have you seen my mommy? And it caught me off guard because the child in spirit is asking me this. And I looked at it and says, well, have you tried heaven? And the child went, and just turned around, go almost like float right back through the wall again, and stopped again and asked me, where is heaven? And I have to tell you, that bothered me for a long time because I thought, you know what, that's not right. If we are promised to be taken care of after we leave our bodies, our spirit that leaves our body is supposed to be taken care of the God that I believe in. Why is this child wandering around by themselves?
Uh-huh.
And it really changed. That's where I changed, where I was seeking, where my spirituality was with this, where my faith was, and what I needed, what I felt, to what I should expect from it. And that's just, it's almost like opening up a whole new book.
I think probably, one of the strongest statements that I ever had made to me that helped actually form, I would call my spirituality state in flux right now anyhow, but years ago when my son was watching Star Wars, he's probably five or six years old, and he's watching it, and after it's over with, he looked at me and he said, you know what, Mom? And I said, what? And he says, God is just like the Force. He says, there's the Force and there's the dark side, and that's all there is to it. And I thought, well, you know what? Granted, he got it from a movie and whatnot, but it is. It's just that simple. You don't have to make it all that complicated.
Well, it is complicated.
We complicate it, I think, with our trappings.
Well, it set me back to where, I felt I had to start all over again about really what my beliefs were. And people will say, well, you know what? You have faith. It's seen as believing and believing as seen. You don't have to see something to believe it. You just know that it's there and you trust and you have faith with it. And, if that's what we're supposed to
base it on. We really have to have faith. I don't have to have faith that I'm going to breathe.
That's where you get the majority of people who believe, what their beliefs are. You don't have to see it to believe it.
I exist whether or not I believe in me, and you exist whether or not I believe in you. Belief has nothing to do with it. It just simply is.
But, it's like, when I'll use my kids, for instance, they wanted a visual about what spirit looked like, what your spirit actually looked like from your body. And so I took them outside on a sunny day, and I had them stand on the sidewalk, and they seen the shadow that was next to them, and I said, that's what your spirit looks like. That's the part of you that rises up, and the rest of your body stays here. So they needed the visualization to help them to believe in that. They needed to know something solid was there. And so now that they had somewhat of a visualization, they didn't need that seeing as believing and believing as seeing. It almost put that faith within them, knowing that that's what it was about. See, and then the same thing with some other people. The fact is that, they base their trust and their religion upon faith. Doesn't matter anything else. I don't need to see it. Nobody needs to convince me. I have faith.
I guess,
and that's all I need.
Well, it's time for a break, so I'll make a real quick statement. I guess for me, the moment I lost faith was when my son died. So without faith, did spirituality cease to exist? No, it didn't. And with that, folks, it's time for our first break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dawn of Shades. Welcome back to the Dawn of Shades. I'm your host, Gia Scott. The website for the radio network is www.paranormalradionetwork.com. And my website is www.gscott.com. Remember to take a look at the website, and don't forget to email your vote in, too. Tuesday, would you like to give the audience your website and the day and time of portal, your radio show?
Yeah, they can reach me either way. First off, at my own personal website, which is www.tuesdaymiles.faithweb.com, or they can reach me at the portaltalkradio.com website also.
Okay. Well, let's see. We were talking about whether or not spirituality would still exist, whether or not you have faith, whether faith is a major portion of spirituality or not.
Well, you know, there's not going to be everybody that's got faith, and there's a lot of reasons for people who have either lost faith or have never had faith before. Is it required to exist on the other side? I don't think so. I mean, you're going to exist.
If you go by, you know, the near-death experience people and whatnot, no, it's not. It's not a requirement. It doesn't make any difference. You can leave this life with no faith in anything, and at the end, you have the same opportunities and whatnot as anybody else.
And you have here we have a comment that says, "But faith in what?" That's a good question. It's a good point. Faith in what? What is it that you have to have faith in?
The sun rising, maybe. The sun burning. I don't know.
It's not just that you have to have faith in something.
It's like, what do you call an omnipotent being? Okay, you can call him Allah. You can call him God. You can call him Jehovah. You can call him the One. You can call him the Source. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what you call it. You know, we tend to use God simply because it is sort of a generic omnipotent entity, But, and that's when I say God, that's exactly what I mean. It doesn't matter what name you want to assign to an omnipotent being, but, we have a comment in the room that a spirituality is a way of being. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going before, when I was saying it was more like philosophy than it was religion. That it fits the definition of philosophy, because it is. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of questioning everything around you, in a sense.
Right. And then the comment that she made before that was, faith seems to mean you expect something in return.
Yeah. We're good in this life in hopes of reward in the afterlife. I'll be good now, so I can have candy later.
Right. Okay. We can agree with that on it. And then again, we have another comment which was said. Okay, you guys are writing so fast here. Hold on now. I like the fact is that spirituality is a way of being. That's what Linda says. Faith is outside the box, not something you can touch. From Linister, faith is something like the wind you can feel, but has no form. Ooh, that was deep. Faith is a part of spirituality. It is one's belief in a higher power. To have faith that a higher power exists in the first place, then we will respond to your needs. Interesting. That's, all great points. All great points there, Gia.
Yeah, it is. And, everyone in the virtual auditorium tonight, do feel free to raise your hand and make a question or a comment, so forth and so on. This is an open mic program tonight. It's designed for you guys to get involved. Now, if you want to just sit there like bumps on a log and listen to Tuesday and I tell you what spirituality is, then you are not actively participating in. Oh, we've got our first one, Linda Keeper. Linda Keeper, if you want to come up to the mic, give your first name and your location, and you're live and on the air with Tuesday and me. Great comment, actually.
Yeah, it was.
A lot of times I think religion, they tell you things. All things are meant to be, okay? especially when something bad happens to an innocent person, a child, you know, somebody who's real nice or whatever, they'll say, oh, they're in a better place now, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, you think, this really isn't fair. And, you know, how can God not be so unfair? You know, how can God be so unfair? And it really isn't about that kind of thing, but it was always this, no matter what bad thing happened here, you're going to accept it because you're hoping for that reward in heaven because you were nice and docile and didn't make any waves, no matter what happened here. And
well,
I think that's kind of a crappy thing, you know?
Well, but see, to me, it's not about the other side. It, to me, is that what Linda's, what, bless you, dog. Sorry about that. My dog just sneezed real loud. But this is the thing. It's, to me, I have noticed myself when I'm being, excuse my French, a crappy person, you know, and I've got a bad attitude and, you know, I'm not being so kind to people or I'm not doing the right thing. Do I get the rewards back from that as showing that I supposedly have been when I haven't? I have to say, I reap the stuff that I sow. I get back what I put out. So that's the, you know, part of the fact is I think what Linda was saying too, your spirituality extends to you here on earth, here while you're living. You know, it, you have this base faith in yourself as spirituality, that being a good person, doing the right thing, knowing the rights and the wrongs, and relying on this faith to pray to sometimes, even to get you through it, and knowing that you see the results back from it, that the fact is that I'm not going to feel all that dirty emotions that's out there. I'm not going to have to because I'm not putting it out. What I get back is what I put out. Now, is that spirituality or is that energy? I think it has to do with both.
Well, you know, I guess, you know, as I'm watching the comments go through the room and whatnot, I would say that so often we keep shuffling spirituality off to religion, and it's really not the same thing. Religion can be part of your spirituality, but it is not the sole definition of your spirituality, or I hope not, anyhow. I think spirituality is really about the things, the way you live now, the way you, your outlook, your what you believe to be true, everything, you know, your goals, your aspirations, are all about the development of your own spirit. It's about letting your spirit grow, teaching your spirit the lessons that it needs to know, rather than worried about the afterlife or rewards or getting what you want from your prayers or whatever it is that you've been promised, you know, as a reward. It's not a, the only reward would be the growth of your own particular spirit.
And within your own happiness. And the, there's a comment here that says, you know, there isn't any many rewards because I was a good person all my life. Are we doing it? Are you being a good person just to wait for that reward to come back? Or the fact is that it made yourself inside a better person or a happier person. If we start looking for the benefits that goes along with it, we're missing the whole point. This is not about what you can do for somebody else. It's, you know, as far as that goes, it's about your own growth. And you're right. You did hit that right on the button there, Gia. It is about yourself. Spirituality is a very individual thing. It is not something that you do for somebody else. You do it within yourself because that's what, who gets up in the morning and who goes to sleep at night.
Yeah, and so how, you know, I guess the big question for most of us is how do we find the right way to ensure our own personal spiritual growth? You know, what can you do to really develop that spirituality in a way that you're comfortable with? I mean, you know, are you going to find it through religion? Are you going to find it through discussion? Are you going to find it through meditation? Are you going to find it through self-critiquing your life? You know, where are you going to find it?
Well, you know, I get a lot of people that when they ask me to do readings for them, one of the questions that they ask is, am I on the right spiritual path? And as you know, as a psychic medium reader on that, you know, and I say to them, you know, that's really something, you know, how am I supposed to answer that? Psychically, I can say, well, you know what, tell me all the good things you do. Tell me how you work your program. And am I supposed to judge you by saying to you,
well, nope, I don't think you're doing right. You know, you haven't handed out your Cheerios today.
Good is so subjective anyhow. I mean, what I might think is a good deed, someone else might think is offensive.
Okay.
Well, okay, it's true. You know,
we can't
within my personal belief system, to have someone praying for me is an invasion. Okay, you know,
okay.
If I haven't asked for it, it's almost like someone's trying to cast a spell on you. I mean, it's an uncomfortable sort of thing, you know.
To have somebody wish good thoughts for you, to wish that you.
Well, it depends on what they're wishing the thoughts for. What they might think is good, I might think is just really kind of a weird thing.
Okay.
You know, because everybody does have such a different belief system that, you know, good is a subjective term.
Okay, we have from October 13th baby, she says, one spirituality leads to the faith of a higher power and the higher power waiting on us in the afterlife. It is not a desire for rewards, but rather a desire to be among that source, that higher power, God the Creator. Okay. And so I think that she just went off AFK. Yeah, she just left. Shoot. Because I wanted to ask her that the fact is that what if one's beliefs didn't bring them to God on it? This, you know, I mean, and that's the whole thing. What happens, just what happens if the person who, like we said, is, you know, has one religion or one belief or one this or one that, and we get to the other side, we all end up on the other side. We all know that. We're all going to the other side. But that, based upon whatever your belief system is here, is what you create for yourself over there. I feel that it's so individual. I don't think that there's any separation. I think that we all experience what our own faith and beliefs behold in each one of us. But let's get back real quick, and I want to make a comment about what you said about prayer. Now, majority of prayer, let's just give it 99.9%. Majority of it is that it is a saying, a wish, a hope that you give to somebody else, because the fact is that you want better for them, you want healing for them, you want help for them. And so, and the intentions are there. The good intentions are there. And so, but you stated that you felt that was still an invasion of your own privacy because you did not ask for it. Do you think
it can very well be, because sometimes what people would pray for you that they regard as a good thing, I would not regard as a good thing.
Okay.
You know, I guess that gets real complex, you know, as far as, but it's, to me, prayer is almost the equivalent of attempting to cast a spell. It's a wish that's being expressed to have an action on the outside world, okay?
Okay.
It's the same thing, as far as I'm concerned.
And so in your belief system, though, I think that this is a thing, and I also, you know, where I lead myself with belief system, and mind you, this, I have nothing to do with pagans or Wiccans or the way of in that tradition and in what they do, but the fact, my belief system, I do not believe in any incantations that actually, you know, one would actually do. That to me would be an incantation, what they would say. They would call it, I mean, but in my prayer, I guess, if you want to call it that, I guess it could be based upon the, you know, the an incantation. Although it's with the intentions are in a positive matter. But, you know, I mean, if somebody wanted to really actually, you know, compare it, there, it's, you know, maybe it might be the same thing. I just never thought of it or never looked at it as being.
Well, I guess
compared.
Maybe I have a funny outlook on the world sometimes, but some things, you know, to me look very similar to something else, and, you know, people can get a little upset when you make a comparison like I just did, that there's really not much difference between a prayer and casting a spell, because it's both words being used to express a desire and cause a change in the world surrounding them. I don't see much difference.
Okay. You know, because with spirituality, too, becomes, you know, where, you know, and we had a couple people that were in the virtual auditorium say, well, what faith, what is it, the faith that you're talking about? And, you know, we all want this, you know, I always put faith in there that says, you know, my faith is that things are going to be better, things are going to be good. The fact is that, you know, our world isn't the best. We have a lot of
screw-ups in this world. It's screwed up big time. Was it fault of God? No, it's not. I take responsibility for my own self. I don't blame anybody else. I just take my own responsibilities. And that's where I put my spirituality in with this. If, I'm going to screw something up, I'm not going to blame somebody else for it. If somebody dies in my family, I'm not going to blame anybody else for it, unless circumstances arise. You're right. And I know that before we went to break, you made a comment about a child that you lost.
Uh-huh.
Is there blame? Do you blame somebody for the loss of your child?
Oh, no. And that's the case. That's a normal part of grieving. You want somebody to be angry at. You want someone to blame. You want somebody you can just go smack the living tar out of.
Okay.
But, I'm aware of that facet of grieving. And, yes, you do. You do want to lay blame at someone's feet. In that particular case, there was nobody to lay blame at. But it's still a normal part of the grieving process. And if you research grieving, it is. It's a very normal part of it. And, it's okay, and it's a phase you go through while you're grieving. And, to be aware of it so that you don't direct it unjustly towards someone is a good thing. To blame the doctors or blame, the neighbor or blame the devil or blame, whatever you want to blame is when there is no fault on their part, then there is, that's wrong.
Do you have an example that you can share, that who do we blame for something that spirituality has to be involved with? I mean, is there something that we can blame, let's say, God for?
Well, I imagine in some belief systems there are things that you could blame on the devil or the God or whoever. But I think a lot of times the things that we regard as the speed bumps in life, the pits in life, the huge mountains that we have to climb over, because all of us have some sort of difficulty in our life. We don't have these golden paths to travel where nothing bad ever happens. Everybody has something, sooner or later, that's difficult, that's just earth-shattering.
Right.
And
I'm sorry for that for you.
Well, it is something that everybody does go through, and each one's problems are a little bit different than the next person's. But, maybe these problems are part of the learning process for your soul. That it's a lesson that you personally need to learn. And as you gain knowledge, maybe you climb up that ladder of spirituality to the next level where you get, a different set of problems, to deal with.
Right. I have to say that, I base myself and I have shared that I do call myself a spiritual person, but my goal also too wasn't so much, the whole thing was not just to based upon to find out what the truth was on the other side, was to better myself, what I could do to better myself as a person, to put myself in that non-judgment way. And, and there's struggles at times where I have to say that I don't judge by the base of your nationality, the base of the color of your skin. I might judge of the actions that you do as a person, and I don't think that's something that, maybe that will never go away, because the fact is I mean, some people are idiots out there, and I'm basing it upon because they're an idiot. But does that make me any less spiritual because that was passing judgment, and making that comment about it?
Well, some people, I just regard them as a disturbance in my personal tranquility pool, and therefore, for my own spiritual sanity, I need to not let them play in my pool.
Right.
Right. There again, there are some people that, they do. They interrupt your serenity. They put ripples in your tranquility pool, however you want to put it. They're just not a good influence on you maintaining any sort of balance in your life. And
right,
therefore,
are we supposed to give them forgiveness? Are we supposed to give forgiveness for that? Do we?
Well, is it really about forgiving? I mean, in my case, I don't forgive them. I don't blame them. I don't anything. I just don't want them around.
Right, but see, it puts that in. See, if you're going to go through the definition of spirituality, and that the fact is we're trying to better ourselves and to be a better person in this, and in some people's lives,
spirituality is about bettering themselves, that the fact is that I have to give everybody forgiveness for what they've done. And, you know, and I have to say that, you know what?
Well, you know, it might be a very admirable goal to say that, you know, you're going to turn your cheek every time somebody does something bad to you. I'm not that good yet, okay? If somebody smacks me on the cheek, I'm not going to give them the other cheek to smack. I'm going to turn around and smack them back. Okay, that is, I'm back to life. I'm not that spiritually enlightened yet.
Would you smack them back, or would you say, okay, I'm going to forgive this cheek just this one time?
No, I'm going to smack them back. Okay, I'm old and cranky. Okay, what can I say?
Well, I like your honesty there.
Okay, now, more spiritually enlightened than others, and I think that in accepting my foibles, I am enlightened.
Okay, so that's part of your spirituality we need to work on. Is that what it is? You know?
Oh, well, you know, maybe I'll get there someday. But right now, I'm still at the smack them back stage.
I'm sorry, I had to laugh about that. I was just, you know, because it's, you know, being human, too, is just fine. I mean, the fact is that, and, you know, this is the thing, too. You got to get, I always find that, you know, and again, here goes the hate letters, but you know what? There's one thing that I have to say that does bother me. And is that people give more thanks to God than they do themselves. And you know what? You got to give yourself some credit, people, because the fact is that, you know, you might, there's your faith again. You say, I have faith that this is what got me through this. This is what won my Academy Award, is I give thanks to this higher power, and I didn't do nothing. Well, I think that people need to give themselves a little bit more credit, because it's, you know, it's not easy to be a good person. It's easier to be a bad person than it is to be a good person.
Well, you know, I don't know if I can agree with that or not, because, you know, and bad is so subjective. Some people that I think are really just major disturbances in the pool of tranquility, and, you know, they like to smack me and I like to smack them back, you know. They might not be bad at all. We just don't quite jive, you know. Our little gears aren't in sync, or however you want to put it, you know, we just, yeah, we're grinding gears. You know, so, yeah, you know, good and bad are so subjective that sometimes it's really tough to, you know, say this is good, that's bad.
Oh, why don't you read what Sedona Lights just put in the virtual auditorium? That was a nice thing.
When you are at peace with yourself and others, then you have attained spirituality to some degree. Well, you know, that's true, I think. And finding that balance with yourself is a good thing to do.
How does one balance themselves?
You learn to do a balancing act, I think, you know.
I mean, well, how do you explain? No, really, it's a serious question. How does one balance themselves?
Well, it's just as complex as somebody saying, you know, trying to say, okay, how do you balance yourself over a fulcrum? You know, so that you aren't, you're not on either side, that you're actually balanced. That's just as complex an idea, except one you're describing as a physical experience, the other one you're describing as a spiritual experience. When you achieve spiritual balance, you know it. I mean, there's not a doubt in your mind, okay, whoa, because it's usually a shock. You've never been there before.
Right, and that's right. You've never been there before. So your expectations of knowing what to expect and what your knowing is that I reach the place where my serenity kicks in, my happiness kicks in, I'm at peace with me, I know that whatever I'm doing in life is successful, I'm helping other people. You know, there was a comment that I just read in the virtual auditorium that says, stop talking and start acting. Talk
well,
to
that's
cheap.
Part of it. And another one, a comment in the virtual auditorium is, by learning what is really important and what isn't, we let ourselves be so miserable over the craziest, unimportant things sometimes. And we do. We focus on the mundane, stupid little details, and the hangnail that we've got has ruined our entire day. Now, did that hangnail really make your day or not make your day? No.
Well,
and it is time for a break. We're actually running a little late. So, everyone, do stay tuned to the Dawn of Shades, and we'll be right back after this top-of-the-hour break. Okay, welcome back to the Dawn of Shades. I'm your host, Gia Scott, and Tuesday Miles and I are talking about spiritualism tonight, and it is an audience participation night. So you there in the virtual auditorium, do think about your questions and comments. I'm sure that all the things that Tuesday and I have said over the last hour has made you think about something, and you could share it with the rest of us. Also wanted to remind everyone the website for the network is www.paranormalradionetwork.com, and my website is www.gscott.com. Remember to take a look at the website, and don't forget to email your vote in, too. Tuesday, would you like to give your audience a website and day and time a portal again?
Yeah, thank you. They can reach me at www.tuesdaymiles.faithweb.com is my personal website. Or you can reach us at the Portal website, which is www.portaltalkradio.com, and I am the host of Portal Talk Radio.
Okay, so everybody sitting in the virtual auditorium, come on now, guys. I know you've got something to say. You have listened to us for an hour as we kicked around all sorts of ideas, and I do want to remind everybody that some of the ideas that we've expressed tonight might not actually be our personal beliefs, but, you know, they make for good conversation and discussion. A lot of times you can discuss ideas about spirituality and a lot of other things that are wild, that are off the wall, that may not be what you actually believe in the morning, but it makes for good discussion. It makes for good thinking about what you do believe and what you do hold true, what you hold dear to your heart, et cetera, et cetera. And it's good. Always question your beliefs, then you know exactly where you stand. You know, if it's something that you don't dare question, maybe it's really not worth believing in.
You know, I'm reading here, and this is from Magdalis, and she says, and I, pardon me if I'm calling you she and you're he, you know if I'm correct, since we beat ourselves up with judgment of ourselves, and we project it on others and stay miserable, just say no to judgment. You know, I have to agree with that on that. You know, we are hard on ourselves. We do judge ourselves, you know.
Sometimes we're our own worst enemies.
What is perfection? This is the thing. We cannot, is there a way to perfection this stuff? Is there a way to master it to where we are completely, is it, we have to reach that point before we are balanced? Or is the fact is that it's that inner happiness that brings on us when, you know, and I know that this also, too, includes my, you know, what I've always thought about in my spirituality is that, you know, when I walk out of a grocery store and you see a homeless person that's there and they've got their hands out, you know, I don't look at them as the fact it's the same by, you know what, get up your butt, get down there, get yourself cleaned up and get a job. I look at them by saying, you know what, I can reach my hand out to you. I can give you something that I can spare for you to maybe help you to get to that place where you can one day think good about yourself, to get yourself up and get yourself back in society and be happy with it. So I do. Sometimes I don't have the money. I'll go back in and buy them a gift card to the grocery store, and that way they can get their needs. But that to me, that's part of my spirituality. I don't walk by somebody knowing that they need help and just ignore it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's, to me, is part
there's,
of spirituality.
There, too, is a fine line between being generous and being a sucker in a lot of people's eyes. And, you know, being a sucker we regard as a bad thing, whereas being generous is regarded as a good thing. And then again, there's those subjective terms.
Well, that's true there, too. But I think, like I said, with the spirituality, it's just, you know, also, too, helping others. You know, whether you have nothing yourself, you can offer your two hands. There's something always. And if we don't continue to help each other out, then what? We are so separated in our own messes we create that then it's not going to make anything better. Our world, to me, the fact is that we need to really work on it, not just environmentally, but in spirituality also, too.
We have a comment in the virtual auditorium from Linda, and it says, we judge ourselves far harsher than we would judge our friends, and what we forgive others for, we beat ourselves up for the rest of our lives. You know, that's very true. And, you know, when you talk to people who've done the near-death experience research, that have channeled spirits from the other side and whatnot, you know, they do comment a lot of times that, when we're judged after this life, that we, in fact, do our own judging. And, oh, boy, I can't think of a crueler judge than myself judging myself.
Well, you know what? This is the thing. I always said there's not enough consequences in this world for the things that people do. And, you know, and in that belief system of thinking that, you know what, maybe there should be more judgment on the other side. Maybe there should be more consequences, not judgment. Let me rephrase that. More consequences, maybe that people would make better decisions on this side. But then again, it's that free will that we get. It's that, you know, the free will to do as you feel right by yourself, not by right by others, but right by yourself.
But, you know, when I, you know, I think of strange things at 2 a.m. when I can't sleep, okay? So you're sitting there and you're thinking about, you know, judging yourself and whatnot in the afterlife. Now, we've all met some people in this world that can do just absolutely horrible things to other people and not lose a minute of sleep over it. Now, when they judge themselves in the afterlife, you know, are they going to be as easy on themselves as they were in life? And is that really fair?
No, it's not, because, you know, there's your conscience again, you know, that conscience that lives within yourself saying, you know what, it doesn't bother me that, you know, I can do so such and such to others and not lose a wink's sleep of it. Okay, well, that's fine with you, but does that make you any closer to be happy? Does it make you any closer to know that you've made a difference, not in maybe so much somebody else's life, but in the world itself, you know?
Well, I think that a lot of us, we look at someone like a serial killer, okay, for an example. Nobody likes a serial killer. All right, they die, they go to the afterlife, they go through the judgment thing, okay? They've done all these horrible things in life. They're going to judge themselves. You know, are they really going, you know, most of us would like to think that they're going to get some consequences, at least in the afterlife, for the horrible things they've done in this life. And, you know, you wonder, do they really? Or do they just go, oh, well, I wasn't a very nice person, so I guess I got to do it over again, or whatever happens.
But see, and just like Sedona Lights just said, that's vindictive. If that's what we feel, is the fact is continuing to think that, you know what, they'll get theirs. They're going to get theirs because they did this. And there's that, I cross over, my spirit leaves my body. Is there forgiveness there? Is there automatically forgiveness? Is there a place that we're going to call them, those people go to? Or do they actually congregate with us on the other side, just like as if they didn't do anything? You know, we hope that the fact is that, you know, being that person went to jail, they were taken out of society, they are now in a place where they get free food, free place to sleep, but they're no longer mingling in society. They no longer get to feel that happiness that we get to on the outside, that joy of watching a kid ride its bike for the first time, the joy of a new puppy coming home, the joy of a kid opening up a Christmas present or somebody opening up a Christmas present. They wanted something all their lives and they finally get it. That's the joy there. That, you know, in itself is to watch and to experience the expressions of other people's happinesses. You know, that in itself to me is, you know, that's pay. They're no longer going to be able to experience any of that stuff. And to me, that's part of spirituality is for you to experience the emotions that's out there, to learn from them and to make the mistakes and learn from them. Being in jail is where you're going to be, where you learn one lesson, what you did wrong at that time.
Okay, so, you know, that brings me to a sort of another thought. I do that associative thinking thing, which kind of can bother people at times, but you know, jail was a place where they went to reflect upon their wrongdoings. So are there places that a person can go that are more spiritual and more encouraging of spiritual growth than other places? You know, like a lot of people, you know, they talk about this location or that shrine or whatever, and, you know, being a spiritual place and talking about spiritual growth. And I know that we've got a couple in here that live in Sedona, which is supposed to be a very spiritual place.
Spiritual, okay.
You know, so, you know, would a place help a person with spiritual growth? And on you guys who sit in there making comments and whatnot, what do you think? Do you think there are places that encourage spiritual growth?
Well, you know, I wouldn't want to go sit on the freeway and expect my spiritual growth to enhance there.
No, I don't. It might encourage prayer, but I don't know if it would be a real spiritual place to hang out.
Okay, but see, then there was a remark in here that from Free to Be Me that says, from within. From within. You can be anywhere because spirituality is from within. It doesn't matter. But then Sedona Light says, read what Sedona Light says. It's a very...
If you surround yourself with negative people, what happens? Well, that's true. So I live in a suburban area. I'm surrounded by all sorts of people that I don't know and probably don't want to know. Is that going to mean that I'm going to have to work harder to achieve spiritual growth than someone who lives in a place filled with positive energy emanating from the physical location or from the people in that location?
Well, you know, I watched this movie last night that had to do with the, it was back in that era where blacks, you know, African-Americans, blacks were still going through that, you know, half being a slave, half coming out of that. And there was these African-American women that were trying to build a church, and yet it wasn't still where it was segregated. How, you know, whites went to one church, blacks went to another. And there was nothing but negativity around these women. Just that's all it was negativity around them. But they kept sending them love, just kept sending them their spirituality with them. And the fact of it is that they weren't going to give up. You know, and this is the thing. If you have all this negativity around you, you don't have to give in to it. You know, you can still send that love. You can still send those high hopes. You can still send good wishes for them. You know, it's what you want to absorb and what you want to keep, you know, sitting in. You know, and even if it's around you, there's still ways that you don't have to even, you know, put yourself in that spot. You can still send all that good energy.
You know, and there's so many things. You know, you go into a convenience store. You look on the a lot of places call them New Age drinks and energy drinks and whatnot. There's a selection of drinks to give you various attributes. I mean, you can choose them by characteristics, peace, tranquility, you know, whatever. And, you know, can I buy it for $1.69 in a can? You know, come on. It's the truth. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that. You know, I've seen that too. Or buy some holy water and this will help your spirituality. You know, okay, that, you know, but these are all these are tools that you're relying on. And same with anything else. These are tools. Now, that's a good point that you're making there, because the fact is that do you need to have a crucifix around your neck? Do you need to have a symbol of St. Christopher? Do you need to have a candle in front of you to enhance your spirituality?
Yeah, you know, do you need a medicine bag? Do you need the herbs tied over your door? Do you need the mark beside your door? You know, are these things going to cause spiritual growth? Well, maybe if you believe that they will, they are a... to help you achieve that. But do they really mean any difference in the long run? Are these just crutches? You know, are they just...
Are they
decorations?
Well, they're tools. And the fact is that, you know, if... And there's comments in there saying that, you know, well, what does it hurt? If this is what helps you to gain that spirituality, which is also a very good thing, then what's the harm with it? And there is no harm with it. If that's what works for you, if that's what rows your boat, then I think that's a good thing. My thought of it is that I'm going to be like what Free to Be Me says. I think it comes from within. I think the only tools I need is really what's within me.
Okay.
And it's
once
a
upon
learning
a time,
process.
Once upon a time, many, many moons ago, okay, I was a assistant buyer in a rock shop, and I used metaphysics to market many of the rocks that I sold. And some people challenged whether or not that was a morally correct thing for me to be doing. And I, you know, my answer was real simple. You know, I'm not telling anybody to discontinue medical treatment or do anything radical like that. I'm telling them this can help them achieve a goal. And it will, because if even at the most basic level, if this crystal that they buy acts as a reminder of the needed change in their life and helps them make the change that they're wanting to make, then it is a tool that has served its purpose. And it has worked.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really sometimes the tools are really no more than a reminder to us that there's a change that we need to make and that we need to make that change. And these tools, you know, act as reminders to get us there.
Right.
So, you know, if having a crucifix around your neck reminds you not to be a butthead to everybody that you see that day, then it's a tool. I think it's probably worked.
I think they make these things called chill pills now that you can take. I don't know if it's by prescription or not, but, you know, I mean, even if it's just a mint that you buy over the counter, and the fact is before you lose your cool, before you start judging somebody else, before you walk by somebody that needs help and you decide to look the other way, take a chill pill. The fact is, you know what, this is what the thing is. You put yourself in that position. And it's not a position that none of us would want to experience. And how we grow spiritually is the fact is that, to me, how much you open your heart, how much that you care, you know, internally, and not for yourself. I mean, not just alone for yourself, but for other people, places, things.
You know, sometimes, you know, as you're driving on the interstate, especially like, you know, if I go to Houston, the traffic is just insane, okay? So, you know, as you're driving along and people are really not being very polite drivers, okay? You know, and you get some people call it the Hawaiian good luck symbol or the California welcome sign, you know? And, you know, you really, you could get really upset and irate. And, you know, I just kind of take a breath and I say, you know what? Tomorrow morning when I get up and I watch the sun rising, that idiot in that car means absolutely nothing. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just let it go. It doesn't mean anything. Just let it go. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And so often that's what we really need to do.
And like there was only, you know, two words that somebody had said, a beer man dude said, the bird. Well, you know what? Okay, you know, you want to help somebody with you know, with your hands, you're not going to give them the bird, and we all know what the bird means. You know, that's not being very helpful, but that is, you know, I mean, and it's not, and he's, you know, and you
well,
know.
Sometimes the bird is the least offensive action that you can take that allows you to vent some of the aggravation, frustration, built-up negativism, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But so see, you
there's
can
that spirituality.
That
you can say to yourself, "I am a spiritual person, and that's not part of my vocabulary." Is that bird? What my part of my vocabulary is saying, you know what? This
not
is
that
not
involved.
To...
I mean, there's times when I can either smack somebody or give them the bird. Okay, which is better?
I think
the bird's
that...
not going to send me to jail if I smack somebody. Technically,
right?
That's good.
But see, you're getting, you know, and I have to say this to you. I'm hearing the listener saying, you know what? None of that stuff is going to make it better. What's going to make it better is letting it roll off your back and saying, you know what? That person or that action, that event is not going to make or break my day, nor break or make or break my life. Therefore, I'm not even going to acknowledge that as something that is going to even bother me. And you let it just go and off you're at, and there's no reaction to it. And so, therefore, you don't have that aftermath of reaction. You don't have that frustration.
Okay, now here's a statement. All right. It's nice to have a goal in mind as far as spiritual enlightenment goes, but there are days when I'm just really in the dark, okay? But on that note, it is time for our third and very last break. So, folks, do stay tuned.
Okay.
Madonna Shades will be right back, and hopefully we'll get enlightened while we're on our break.
All right, stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Donna Shades. I am your host, Jess Scott, and I'm joined tonight by Tuesday Miles, one of the hosts from Portal, which airs on Sundays. You can get the show schedules for both shows through www.paranormalradionetwork.com, and my guest schedule is posted at www.gs.com. Also, don't forget to vote by emailing me the answers to these questions. Who is your favorite guest so far? That's pretty easy. There's a list of guests on the website. What is the paranormal topic that you would most like to hear discussed on this radio show? And who would you like to hear as a guest on the Donna Shades? Now we're going to go back to our topic, which is spirituality with Tuesday Miles. Yeah. So I sort of lost my train of thought while we were off on break there.
Well, you know, it's the one good thing about being here on Pal Talk, which is www.paltalk.com, which is we have a virtual auditorium for our shows, is that we do have a lot of guests that stop in, and they do write, you know, we were able to view their comments, and some of these people in here are characters, and they give me a good laugh. So it's kind of sometimes hard to keep your attention to the subject when they're sometimes writing in the most craziest things. But, you know, over and all, the comments that have been in the virtual auditorium tonight have been amazing. And one thing I can say about this, Gia, is that the subject can be very debatable, but what I like about it, and I want to thank you for including me with this subject, is because it gets people talking about it. It gets them thinking about it. It gets them to voice their opinion about what their spirituality is in their life. And that's a good thing, because once that you've acknowledged it and know that there's something there to this, that it's about bettering yourself. It's about bettering the surroundings that you live in. And the more people can talk about this and bring it up as a subject to, you know, let us know how they work their lives through their spirituality, it makes a better place for everybody.
And so often, you know, when people would like to have a spirituality discussion, it actually turns into a religious debate, and it's either, you know, they're getting preached at, or, you know, a fanatic never changed anybody's mind, you know, so you really need to discuss ideas and kick around some of those wild ideas just to help you sort of define where it is that you really stand and what you do believe in versus what just is sort of a interesting idea.
You know, and I've actually seen people, you know, where they're trying to prove exactly what does go on after we leave our bodies and the death of our bodies, that they forget about living in the moment and the now. And ever so often that these people are young, and the fact is that they've got all this life ahead of them. And if you're going to continue to search for something that only the person who is on that other side, who has gone through that transition, experiences it, then you forget what the good is around you now. I mean, we can all get caught up with that. We all want to know the truth about something that we all only can estimate about what really is going to go on.
Yeah, it's not like we can't send a probe to the afterlife and say, okay, take pictures, record all the data, come back and tell us all about it, because it just doesn't work that way.
Well, right, and it doesn't. But see, the fact is that also too, the anticipation of it, or the hopes and the faith, and you know, and I think that in itself has somewhat put a fear in some people that if they don't continue to be good, that the fact is when they get to the other side, being that they are still thinking they still have that physical body, that they're going to suffer greatly there. And maybe that's where the consequences come, because the fact is putting that, what that saying goes, the fear of God in you, that if you don't do right here on this earth, that you're really going to get it on the other side, you know.
You go in sort of like you would go to the woodshed with the switch, you know, knowing.
Oh, gosh.
Knowing what was coming and that you'd earned it.
Well, I always say that you don't want to do onto somebody else that you would not want that somebody else to do onto you.
Now, you know what I found was interesting when I was reading these books about near-death experiences and the channeling of the suicide victims and whatnot, was that, you know, when you're judging yourself, you're not only judging your actions, but you're judging your thoughts, that your thoughts was just as much an action. I mean, if you thought about smacking that guy and giving him the bird too, it was as good as doing it.
We have a hand raised up in the virtual auditorium.
Oh, yes, I see that. Okay, well, Purring Cougar, if you'll come to the mic, give your first name and your location. You're live and on the air with Tuesday and myself.
Oh, we lost our hand.
Oh, she sort of disappeared. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, folks, you can raise your hand and make a comment, ask a question, whatever. We've only got about 15 minutes left of the program or a little less, so if you want to do it, we're down to the wire, folks.
Yeah, you want to try it again? That was Purring Cougar. Did we lose her?
Yeah,
she was
lost her out of the virtual auditorium. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
she could come back, maybe she could try it again.
Yeah.
Well, this is, you know, the thought of a sec is that, you know, at, again, expressing that spirituality is based upon the individual. And, you know, if to me, in my own opinion, this is my own way of my own spiritualist, is that, you know, I'm still not sure about where I'm at with my own spirituality. I know that I work it as if that I do unto others, and I wish for them to do unto me in the same aspect on it. I have a higher faith based, which means is that I do believe that there is something that is higher and bigger than me. And I base my own self and my own spirituality, and the fact is that what I can do to make myself be a better person, to enhance my happiness and enhance the happiness around those who surround me, and whether I know them or not. I also work as a psychic medium, so it does bring a little bit of a difference in there, where the fact is that there is spirits on the other side, that I know that there's some reason that I have these gifts, and, you know, and I'm not only here to help people on this side, but I'm help spirits on the other side. And as I say that, I see a nice little ghost that just came into my bedroom, sitting there right in front of me, and I'm curious to see whether they go into an apparition state, which they look like they're going to. So we have a little visitor that just came into the room, and maybe they want to talk about their own spirituality on the other side.
Well, you know, you talked about your own spirituality being sort of developing and changing. You know, that's been true for my whole life. It has been something that has evolved through my entire life. It's not set in stone. But one thing that I have pretty much kept as a belief, which means it stood the test of time, is that I can't fix the world, but I can fix my own little corner. And by fixing my own little corner up and making one little bright spot, you know, maybe my neighbor will do the same. And maybe, you know, somebody who walks by and sees it will do the same. And sort of like a virus, it will spread. And somebody will catch that little bright corner thing. You know, and why not?
You know, and that's, I think that's a good thought. That's a good way of, you know, of keeping that positive outlook on life. If you're going to, it's almost like you hope that it's contagious.
Right. You know, and if negativism can be contagious, why can't positive things be contagious?
Well, and do you think that we're making a difference with that? The world is actually changing in that aspect, where people are sick and tired of the negativity that surrounds them, that goes on in this world. The fact is that by showing better examples of what we each make, that it is going to be, you know, it's going to be more contagious, and people are starting to change.
Well, I hope so. Can I prove it statistically? No. You know, that's an impossibility. But, you know, if everybody does exactly that, brightens up their own little corner of the world, you know, we're going to have an awful lot of bright corners, and those dark dungeons in between are going to stick out like sore thumbs. And, you know, maybe that will draw attention to it, the fact that it is a negative drain on everything around it, and, you know, maybe it will change. And, you know, that's about all we can do. Because I can't fix what's happening in the Middle East. I can't fix what's happening in Russia. I can't fix the Arctic ice shelf on the North Pole or global warming or anything. But I can fix what's wrong with Gia.
Right. Well, you know, it's you know, you can't take one grain of sand to build a sandcastle. And like the saying goes, you can't, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And although I felt the fact is that even if I did say to myself, well, I can't make a difference because it's so huge. But I think that one grain of sand, even though it's only your grain of sand, that even if you did put it out there, that it's still, and like you said, following by example, you know, there's a charitable organization that I belong to that has to do with Africa. And what it is that you donate into this fund where they go out and they build wells in these villages so that the women don't have to, or, you know, or whoever has to walk 3 or 4 or 5 miles just to get fresh water. And it is so inexpensive for them to build these wells. But the fact is that I can't do it alone. You know, I can't afford to donate for one whole well to be built. So it what they do is they just keep taking the donations until they have enough for that one well, and then it gets being put out for it to be built. But see, it takes everybody to participate, whether it's a dollar or 50 cents or for whatever it is on it. That's making the difference. So also, too, not only with working within yourself, too, I know that when I put my little 50 cents worth in, and I'm using that as an example, I know that what comes back to me is that thought of me feeling good, that I would put a positive intention in that act of what I
exactly
to do.
You know, and when I say brighten my own little corner, it doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, I put up floodlights. You know, brighten my own little corner can mean, you know, I volunteer some time with this group, or I donate things to that particular group, or I do a project for another group, or maybe I go work with Habitat for Humanity for a day. You know, that's brightening my own corner. It's a little thing. It's a, you know, and then that's what I mean by brightening your own corner.
Absolutely.
You take a little thing and do it, and that's brightening your corner. You know, the floodlights aren't going to help anybody.
And I don't feel that's being selfish at all. I don't really believe that's being selfish, because you're doing it so that you get your own self-gratification.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, it's doing it because it makes you feel good. It's doing it because it makes your world a better place.
And by you feeling good, you're putting out what type of energy?
Positive energy,
positive
of course.
Energy.
You know, and those little things that you do, a day that I spend volunteering working with rescue animals, okay? Yeah, granted, I don't do anything momentous. You know, I'm not some celebrity that's doing a lot of fundraising or anything. I'm probably going to be doing something fascinating like scooping poop or giving baths or teaching one how to behave or something,
okay,
you know, like that. And that's the reality of it, you know?
And you got that for scooping the poop? That's the gratefulness there.
Yeah. Well, scooping the poop,
thing.
I mean, somebody's got to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. There's no poop fairies.
I like your positive outlook on that. There's no negativity on that at all, you know? I mean, it's you're taking what's got to be done and keeping a positive outlook on it, part of your
exactly,
spirituality.
Exactly, you know, and it's like that. It's the little things that you do to make the world around you a better place. I can't go to Africa, and I can't go to the Arctic myself, and I don't much care about water, so global warming and doing research on the ocean, that's not my thing either. And, you know, as far as fixing holes in the ozone layer, well, I can fix a pair of jeans, but I don't think I can sew a patch on the ozone layer. So, you know, me attempting those sorts of things would be a waste of time and energy and resources. But I can, you know, fix a pair of pants and donate them to, you know, like we have a local charity that helps drug addicts and alcoholics get their lives back in order. You know, maybe I'll fix a pair of pants and donate them to them.
Yeah, we
you
had
know,
a hand
or
up.
Whatever.
We had a hand up, Gia. Linda Keeper, do you want to come back up to the mic again?
We're just going to wait a minute.
Okay.
We're very nearly out of time. So, folks, if you want to make a comment, probably the best thing is type it into text, and we'll see it. I hope.
Oh, I like what Beer Man Dude just said. Positive energy is a natural healer.
It is. You know, and so often people get, you know, and I think this is what happened to me. I have had more health problems in the last year. Now, granted, I'm a year older than I was last year, but I've had strange health problems, and I think it's because I let negativism into my life in a way, and I sort of opened the doorway to let this stuff start happening. And, you know, by realizing it and changing my personal perspective, I expect to see a reversal of a trend. You know,
yeah, we have
and
a hand up again, Gia. Do you want to take this
okay.
Next?
Okay. Well, Linda, if you want to give your first name, which I bet you is Linda, you come to the mic and you'll be live and on the air with Tuesday and myself. Exactly. I mean, that's where I was going with the brighten your own corner thing. It's the little things that we do.
Absolutely. That one grain of sand.
You know, you may not even realize that you're doing something. I mean, smiling at that old lady in the grocery store, that might be the only smile she has seen all day long.
That was an excellent
right there.
One grain of sand. Like I said, it doesn't take, it's not, you don't, you know, we can't always, you know, we're not Oprah. We cannot make this million-dollar contribution to the world. But we can make, like you said, that small contribution in our own corner. And Linda's right, what she just said, that pet that you just helped rescue, that pet that you helped to rehabilitate for somebody else to adopt, can make the world to the person who receives that dog, to the, whether it's a person who's always been alone that has now a companionship. So what you do and your part is no smaller than the person, like we say, Oprah, who has $1 million who donates. To me, there's no difference on how big or how small. It's the fact that you move and you do something, and that's what makes spirituality to me.
Yeah, I'm by no stretch of the imagination a biblical scholar, and I can't tell you what part of the Bible this is in, but I know there is a story in the Bible about a woman who only gives one coin as a donation to the church when she's going in, or to a beggar or somebody. She gives it to somebody, you know, a charitable gift. And, you know, some people look down on her because she only gave one coin, but that's the only coin she had. She gave everything she had. So even though it might not be a big thing in the eyes of the world, you know, that I went and scooped poop for an afternoon, or, you know, that I worked with a dog, or, you know, I donated a pair of pants, or I smiled at an old lady, or I helped one get her groceries into her car, or whatever it is that I did that day. It's that grain of sand, you know, it's that single coin.
That grain of sand, that's right.
You know, and, yeah, you know, you start with your own little corner, like I said, you know, it's just one small thing, one step. You know, one foot in front of the other.
And it is so okay also to work with from within, from your own space, because, you know, like you said, if you're working on yourself and you feel the results about working on yourself, and the fact is that including the spirituality with you, and you define, everybody should define spirituality in their own ways. This is not what the dictionary says. This is not what religious says. This is not about what about your next-door neighbor Joe says. What you define your spirituality in has got to be your own personal, your own personal path. It is not going to be measured by anybody else's path, because you won't feel that validation from within. If you do, you will feel, to me, let down, because you're not feeling the expectations of somebody else.
I hate to cut you off.
Yes,
but we are totally out of time.
Oh, boo! Okay.
So, folks, this has been an interesting episode of The Donna Shay. It's a little bit different than the format, but that's not a bad thing. Being a little bit philosophical can be a good thing to do. So don't forget to email your vote on those questions. And I hope to see you next week. Hold a little bit of the light close to your heart. Smile around again and think about the things that you hold holy. Make sure that they are actually holy, holy, and not more holy than holy. And say that 7 times fast. With that, I'm your host, Gia Scott, and I thank you for joining me tonight on The Donna Shades.
Blessings, everybody.